From Iowa Public Radio, I'm Janine Beck, and this is The Exchange. With more than 100,000 Iowans out of work and just 2 weeks left in the legislative session, minority Republicans are ramping up criticism of Democrats for failing to introduce a job creation bill. But as the majority party scrambles to find consensus on an incentive package, a state labor analyst says the employment picture is improving. Can state government actually create new private sector jobs, or should it just stay out of the way? We'll discuss job creation this morning with two key lawmakers and an ISU economics professor. That's coming up next on The Exchange, but first, the news. Live from the Law Library of the State Capitol Building, I'm Janine Beck, and this is The Exchange. Iowa set a new record for unemployment benefits last year, paying out $1.2 billion to out-of-work Iowans. More than 26,000 Iowans lost their jobs in 2009, bringing the total job loss since the recession to over 46,000. But the job picture improved slightly in January. And here to discuss the job picture in Iowa is Ann Wagner, a labor analyst with Iowa Workforce Development. Ann, thanks for being here today.
And thank you, Janine. We believe that Iowa is currently at a crossroads. We've had almost 2 years of a real difficult economic environment in the state. But here recently, we've seen signs that the economy is turning around. All of the recent indicators show a pickup in terms of capital spending, in terms of what employers intend to do in 2010 in terms of hiring. The recently released leading economic indicators for Iowa, released by the Iowa Department of Revenue, show that six of its eight components picked up for the month of January. The indicators released by the Iowa Business Council also show improvement. Iowa Workforce Development's non-farm employment for January picked up, and we plan to see more positive figures on a monthly basis during 2010. So we think we've turned the corner.
You know, when you recently testified with the Governor's Council of Economic Advisors, the numbers, though, are stark and startling, and it's going to take a long time to climb out of this. More than 111,000 Iowans out of work. You mentioned that manufacturing had seen the deepest losses at more than 23,000 jobs lost, construction 8,100, professional and business services 5,500, you know, and it goes on and on with retail and hospitality. I mean, just down the line. Talk to me about just the benefits people are requesting, or what's the mood out there? I know you're an analyst, but do you hear from any of these Iowans?
I don't hear from individuals myself. I work with staff who do. Of course, many job seekers are discouraged because of how bleak the job situation has been for the past 2 years. But again, they are noticing some improvement. Some companies have started to call people back that they laid off during the recession. So that's real encouraging. And other people who experienced pay cuts or had their hours reduced, many of them have gotten hours back or have had their pay restored. So those signs are encouraging for people.
I know that in January, while unemployment was just a slight tick up, there were new jobs created. Are those jobs going to be comparatively as good as the jobs that were lost, or will that take a while to rebound? I mean, are these, what kind of jobs are being created compared to those lost?
The job recovery will take some time. And of course, manufacturing jobs are a big question mark for us.
And those are pretty high paid, right?
Right. During the 2001 recession, we never regained approximately 20,000 manufacturing jobs. We did recover total non-farm employment jobs, and in fact, they managed to peak in 2008. There are a variety of jobs that are coming back. Some are low-paying, some are high-paying. So it's a real mixed picture. But if you look at finance and professional and business services, many of those jobs are high-paying. And, of course, health has a lot of high-paying jobs. And many of the manufacturing jobs that are being created are high-paying. And, of course, IBM opened in Dubuque during the month of August of 2009, and those are very high-paying jobs.
I know. I thought it was very interesting that you mentioned that the recession doesn't treat everyone evenly, that men were suffered more job losses than women because of the professions that suffered during the economy.
Two groups, men and youth, young workers. Men suffered in this recession because manufacturing and construction lost so many jobs. Younger people lost jobs because, again, I mentioned manufacturing and construction. Those industries are heavily unionized, and so people with seniority get to keep their jobs when there are mass layoffs and the younger people are laid off.
You mentioned that while we never regained all those manufacturing jobs lost in 2001, but I know when you spoke to the governor, you suggested that you believed manufacturing would begin to lead the way of the recovery or the rehiring.
Yeah.
So that manufacturing is going to come back, but maybe not as much as it lost?
Maybe not as much, but I believe that it's starting to lead us into the recovery. And that's not just in Iowa, that's a nationwide trend.
Mm-hmm. What would you want lawmakers to know about these numbers as they, you know, wind down the session and attempt to craft legislation that might provide new jobs or stimulate jobs?
Well, here again, I think they need to know that things are looking a little bit more positive, and anything they can do to encourage job growth would help the state.
All right. Ann Wagner, thanks so much for joining us here. I appreciate it. Ann Wagner is a labor analyst with Iowa Workforce Development. Now on the program, we're going to be joined by Democratic Senator Bill Dotzler of Waterloo and Senate Minority Leader Paul McKinley, a Republican from Sheridan. The Republicans have been very critical of Democrats for failing to address what they believe is the state's most critical issue of unemployment. In fact, Senate Minority Leader Paul McKinley complained that Democrats are actually making matters worse by approving measures that pile more work on small businesses. Senator McKinley, let me just begin with you. I know you've been very critical about the fact that there hasn't been job creation legislation advanced yet this session with just maybe 2 weeks left.
Right. And what I can say is from experience back in the early 80s, which was a horrible recession, I created a lot of jobs. It can be done, but you must remove barriers to job creation.
When you cannot raise them. You created them. It was as a small business owner.
I owned a small business, yes. I tripled the size from 1980 to 1990, employing a couple of hundred people. So it can be done, but you have to do the right things. Every time the government comes in and puts more meaningless regulation or increases barriers, we see jobs disappear. I've talked to a lot of employers, small, medium, and large, and household names in this state, and they say, we can manufacture in China. We are, in fact. We can manufacture in Brazil and India. And if the state continues down the path they're going, that's precisely where we will take manufacturing. As was mentioned earlier, we've lost 20,000 jobs since 2001. We've lost 23,000 in this recession. We have to start doing things and do a 180-degree turn so we can get some of these jobs back. We can do it. Iowa is poised better than any other state to do it, but we have to do the right things.
Senator Bill Dotzler of Waterloo, you've been working all session to try to hammer out some sort of compromise on job creation legislation, but it's been very difficult.
Yes, it's first of all, I agree with what Senator McKinley said, and I don't know if the listeners got to hear that it's really the businesses of Iowa that create the jobs, not government. We can put stimulus dollars out there that create short-term jobs, more in a line of work projects for people, such as what happened to get us out of the Great Depression. The federal government created these jobs, and they were really temporarily and short-lived. So what we need is a sustainable policy here in Iowa to create and stimulate the job creation with small business, and I think we're doing that. When Senator McKinley says, in respect to him, my good friend, I disagree that we're not doing anything. We have over $500 million worth of tax credits and incentives that are on our books right now every year. And so to say that we're not doing anything, I think it's a little bit off base. But the truth of the matter is that we need to do more to help small businesses get started. And I think we're heading down that path. Now, he said earlier, again, listeners might not have been able to hear it, but we're in the ninth week of session and we haven't done anything. Well, I chair the Economic Development Appropriations Subcommittee, and we've been having testimony all session, and we've been listening to small business individuals about their concerns and what barriers they have. And we had the Small Business Development Centers come before us. an economic development assistance program at the University of Northern Iowa called My Entrenet. And we're going to work with them to try to put some more incentives out there. We heard that with small business development centers that they really need to increase their counseling time with these small startup and companies. And if they don't have at least 5 hours of time to work with them, then it doesn't really have the kind of benefit. So we're going to put some additional resources into the small business development centers. The My Entrenet program is an internet based program that assists small business, and we're putting more dollars into that program also.
We'll come back to this in just a moment. We're going to take a break. You're listening to The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. We're live from the Law Library of the State Capitol Building. I'm Janine Beck, and my guests this morning, or afternoon rather, Democratic Senator Bill Dotzler of Waterloo and Senate Minority Leader Paul McKinley, a Republican from Sheraton, discussing job creation efforts here at the State House. Well, with the end in sight of this year's legislative session and thousands of Iowans still out of work, Democrats last week said they were trying to drum up support for a bonding bill. $100 million in bonding authority remains from last year's jobs package, and Democrats suggest that could be used to rebuild Iowa communities still recovering from weather disasters. Senator Dotzler, I know you just mentioned before the break efforts to help these entrepreneurial centers at the universities that provide counseling and assistance, but do you think bonding is also the way to help create jobs?
Yeah, I think that can be. One of the things that we're looking at, and it was a proposal that came from the Department of Economic Development, to use some of the remaining bonding capacity to create rail ports across the state of Iowa. And these would act as kind of terminals where rail goods and services could either be delivered or shipped from and then connected with trucking firms. They were looking at creating 5 to 6 of those across the state. It would use about $15 million worth of bonding. But if we can get even a smaller amount, 3 or 4, I think it would help incredibly, because one of the things that we're really working hard at and had success with is when the wind generation capacity of our state, those manufacturers that support that wind generation are looking to locate here in Iowa. And one of the things that they need to do is have the ability to move those towers, blades, and generators across the state and into other wind fields like in western Iowa. And they really need that rail hookups. So we're looking at developing these rail ports and then working with the manufacturers of wind turbines and blades to locate here in Iowa, and that could actually mean thousands of jobs. So that would be a good case, Janine, of how we could use bonding capacity to actually help stimulate job growth. But really the job growth comes from those companies that do locate here and the jobs that they create.
Mm-hmm. Senator McKinley, Republicans were soundly opposed to the governor's large $800 million job creation bonding proposal last year that was approved and is currently in effect, iJobs. Do you remain opposed to additional borrowing of money for this kind of infrastructure, or is it time for the state to do that to assist this industry?
You know, the state has a history of the past decade of doing top-down programs. We did the Grow Iowa Values Fund, a $500 million program, which they promised would create 50,000 jobs. It was a year ago that the governor said, if you give me bonding, they pulled out the credit card, they borrowed $890 million, they said, I'll create 30,000 jobs. Here, a year later, how many jobs have been created? We haven't created 30,000 jobs. We've lost 30,000 jobs. Then there was the $100 million power fund, which was supposed to create jobs. It came out in a national publication that of the green jobs created in Iowa, we've seen 34 created. So the promises are very bold, but they never come through. We're doing a lot from the standpoint of taxing Iowa citizens to offer incentives, But small business, which is responsible for two-thirds of all new job creation, does not come to Des Moines to the Department of Economic Development with a glossy brochure. They don't even know they exist. They're out there struggling to survive. Their taxes are too high. Their property taxes are too high. There's a regulatory regime in place which they see as adversarial to the point they won't even locate in Iowa. So there are an awfully lot of things we need to do which will help to create jobs that won't cost the taxpayer anything, shouldn't cost the taxpayer anything.
Can you list me a couple of those things that you think the state should do? Because, you know, one of the things Democrats are critical of is saying, well, Republicans are, you know, refusing to support any of our proposals. I know you say you have some of your own. What are, tick off a couple of things the state ought to be doing.
Okay. What we proposed last year was, I talked to tons of businesses and they say, look, the regulatory regime is so onerous, we don't know if we're breaking the law or not breaking the law. And then we have inspectors come in and it takes 9 months to a year to get a permit to even and start to do business. We proposed a commission consisting of affected people, primarily small business, that would comb through the Iowa code and the administrative rules to find those things that were a barrier to job creation. There are numerous ones, and then make recommendations to the state so they could remove those. I can't tell you how many employers I've talked to that says, we're not even going to bother with Iowa. We just lost 1,500 people in Sioux City. That's a $45 million hit to that community.
And those are two meatpacking plants.
Absolutely. We lost 500 in Council Bluffs with Tyson Foods. We lost 500 in, I mean, we're Maytag. We are losing jobs like crazy. Bluebird, we lost in the former governor's hometown. We are losing these businesses like crazy. There is no reason we should be losing all of these businesses.
But we're not the only state losing manufacturing and those kinds of jobs, correct, Senator Dotzler?
It's pretty common across the United States, and I'd submit to Senator McKinley that I think I was a great state to do business in, and I think those people that go out there and keep saying that we're not a great state to do business in is doing us a disservice. You know, there have been plenty of national nonpartisan organizations out there that have rated Iowa as one of the better states. And I think, you know, yeah, we have lost those jobs, Senator McKinley. You're correct. But I think it was more a reflection of what happened to our economy and not so much what we're doing wrong. And we have worked, and under former Governor Vilsack and under Governor Culver, have been working to really kind of break down some of the paperwork that's required and get more shovel-ready sites ready, try to eliminate some of the paperwork that he's talking about, the regulations. But, you know, I think that the Iowa Values Program was really designed to go after high-quality jobs and good-paying jobs. You know, in previous administrations under the SEBA, they really didn't have wage rate restrictions, and we created a lot of chicken plucking jobs in this state. And that, those kind of jobs, you can't raise your family on. You can't send your kids to college. So we tried to refocus with the values program, and I think we did a great job of creating jobs.
I should just tell listeners that might not remember what the Iowa Values Program did was to give grants and loans to businesses that created jobs, but there were intended to be wage requirements and things
That's
like
correct.
That.
That's correct. Benefits and wage requirements. And last year in the Iowa Senate, we tried to streamline all the economic development programs in Iowa, and we took actually part of the Values Fund, the SEBA grants. There's just a whole litany of different hodgepodge programs that were put together over the years and really tried to streamline them. And just in a response about the Power Fund wasn't necessarily a job creation program. It's a research and development program, and I helped work on it.
And that's to give grants and loans to businesses that create renewable energy jobs and
well, it's to develop the research and technology around those jobs. It is about discovering techniques and procedures that can be transferred, commercialized into jobs. And I'll give you an example. One major part of the Power Fund funding went to research around cellulosic ethanol. They don't have the techniques down to make it efficient yet. But once that happens, we'll be able to take corn cobs, what corn stover they call it, or switchgrass, or those type of things,
and which might have been the leftover or the waste product before.
So the research didn't really create many jobs. It created a few research jobs. But the real goal is, once we develop that technology and apply it and build an industry around it, that's where the jobs come from. The wealth will be generated to Iowa farmers and farm families across the strait because of the research. So when you look at the Power Fund, it wasn't necessarily a, quote, jobs program. It was a research and technology development program that will lead to industry growth in the state of Iowa.
But you don't think it's been effective, Senator McKinley?
Well, I would tell you that during the 20th century, Iowa was the slowest growing state in the union. And one of the reasons is we're not creating jobs. And it's because we have an atmosphere, including some of the highest property tax rates, commercial property tax rates in the nation. When we look at Iowa ranked as a job creator, U.S. News and World Report said that Iowa was the 49th worst in the nation because of taxes, regulatory burden, etc. There are some organizations that have said Iowa is a good place, but those indicators that show that Iowa is still a good place, the Democrats in the legislature have tried to attack every one of those. Iowa's right to work law. We have the best workers' comp system in the nation. They've tried to turn that upside down. We have the amongst the highest commercial property tax rate in the nation. We have prevailing wage bills. All of those things, which are pretty decent. We have a good corporate income tax structure. They have gone after, thank goodness, we've been able to stave those off. You see two competing philosophies of how jobs and economies grow. If we want to accept the fact that this philosophy works, we should look to Detroit as an example. It would be a shining city on a hill.
We got to take a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes to talk about this and join an economist to spell it all out for us. You're listening to The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Janine Beck. We're live from the Law Library of the State Capitol Building in Des Moines. My guests this afternoon, Democratic Senator Bill Dotzler of Waterloo and Senate Minority Leader Paul McKinley, a Republican from Sheraton, discussing job creation legislation here at the State House. Now joining us for the final segment of the program this morning, Iowa State University economics professor Peter Arazem. Mr. Arazem studies economics and has been highly critical of Governor Culver's iJobs program, which was approved last year, and the state's borrowing of more than $800 million to create jobs and construction work specifically in Iowa. Thank you very much, Professor, for joining us this morning.
It's nice to be here. Thanks.
You've been listening to the conversation, I understand, as we got going this afternoon. What do you think? What is the state's role in creating jobs? Does it play a role, or should it stay out of the way?
Well, I think both Senator Dotzler and Senator McKinley had legitimate ways of looking at how the state's role might be. Senator Dotzler worrying more about short-term stimulative effects of state government, and Senator McKinley worrying more about longer-term prospects in terms of the state's economic climate for job creation. And to put things in perspective, I mean, Senator McKinley is exactly correct that Iowa is one of the slowest growing states in terms of job generation. I think we've added 4% jobs since 1996. That's a third of the pace of job creation for the U.S. as a whole. And that suggests that we don't have short-term problems. We have longer-term problems that I do believe are related to the way we address things like taxes and regulations in the state. However, we can't change those things in a very short period of time and have any hope to, say, address job creation in the short run.
So is it that you need a combination of things? Because I know I read one of your pieces, and you've been critical of the state's over-reliance on property taxes and what you consider maybe an overabundance of government workers compared to, you know, per capita, essentially. Are those things that would be long-term changes? And then
those would be longer-term changes. That's exactly correct. So, I mean, yeah. We're very proud of the fact that we have 99 counties in the state, but as we've lost population in the vast majority of those counties, we haven't reduced county employment proportionally, which means that that's then a burden on everyone within that county or in the state as a whole who are having to pay taxes to pay for those jobs. So there's generally a sense that the state hasn't adapted very well to declining populations in some areas and rising populations in others, and that serves as a burden to the private sector.
What recommendation might you give these two lawmakers then as they try to wrap up this session and they look at unemployment of more than 100,000 Iowans? Is there something that they can do as a combination of a long-term, short-term package that might be beneficial?
Well, in the short term, there are limits to what a state can do. The federal government can borrow money sort of in perpetuity or so long as some other country is willing to buy our bonds. The state can't do that. The state has to run a balanced budget, which means that we have to have taxes going in to pay for anything that we're spending in the short run. Bonding, which is the other solution, and that was the iJobs solution, is basically borrowing against the relatively near future to pay for activities in the current period. And there are reasons why a state might want to do that. I have some concerns about how the iJobs program was actually structured, and I have some concern that it really won't have any substantive impact on state employment. We can talk about that.
Was part of your concern, what I read, was that it focused largely on construction jobs, and, you know, meanwhile we were losing jobs in manufacturing, business, retail, hospitality, and really only iJobs was only buffering one industry.
iJobs was focused on construction, which wasn't, it's about 13% of the jobs that we've lost. And so at the time that I wrote that particular piece, construction was a relatively even smaller fraction of the jobs that we had lost. And we knew that we were going to have stimulus money coming in from the federal government and money coming in from insurance and FEMA to pay for construction to repair the floods. So adding even more money into the construction sector seemed to be sort of overkill. Now, it turns out that not a whole lot of the iJobs money has been spent so far, I think less than 6%. So most of that money is coming online this summer. I think $596 million of that money has now been allocated, and most of that for production activities that are going to occur this summer. Well, that's more than enough money to pay for every unemployed construction worker in the state and add some more construction workers from other places. And so there's a limit to our capacity to use all that money in a short period of time. Why might you want to do that where there's an election coming up in November and you can say, okay, what we've done is we've borrowed for, you know, 20 years now to shove a whole bunch of money into the last few months before an election. And so there are reasons why you might want to do that for political reasons, but the economics of it isn't particularly compelling.
If you'd like to join our conversation this morning, give us a call at 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. I'm going to start with a question that came by email this morning, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Patrick from Waterloo says, why not support health care reform passed to help small businesses? He says insurance premiums cost so much every month that he can't invest in the business or give employees raises. Senator, let me start with you, Bill Dotzler. Is there something that the state could do on health care, or is that a federal issue that there's really a limited role the state can play in reducing premiums?
Well, Janine, it really is a federal issue. We did pass some legislation that came out of the Senate that appears pretty much dead in the House that would kind of set up Iowa for receiving those federal dollars to help small business. And I agree. The health care costs are spiraling out of control. I think that small businesses and businesses throughout our state want to provide health care for their employees. That's something they want to do. But it's really eating into their bottom line, and it's getting more and more unaffordable. And it's something that the federal government needs to move forward on, which I support wholeheartedly.
Senator McKinley, nationally, Republicans seem opposed to taking health care away out of the business sector and making it, say, you know, a government program. Yet for small businesses, isn't this often a really difficult financial issue?
Well, it is a difficult issue, but there are many things the state can do and many that we have recommended. For one thing, we've passed a lot of mandates that insurance companies cover certain illnesses. That is responsible, according to what I hear, for 20% of the increase. We need tort reform dramatically. You always hear, well, the settlements aren't that big, but the cost of defensive medicine is huge. I had a guy tell me the other day that the doctor prescribed $3,500 worth of tests. He said, I'm self-funding these. He talked them down to $300. $3,200 of that was for defensive medicine. That's where the cost comes. That's why cost care is expensive. Additionally, we need to have more individual health savings accounts, and we need to be able to have competition in insurance sales across state borders.
All right. Let me ask you, Senator Dotzler, as we wind down this session, you talked about tax credits, and the state currently has about $500 million worth of incentives out there to spur, whether it be research and development, new incentives for job creation, those kind of things. But the professor says, you know, property taxes are too high and that's causing a problem. Why has there been no, every year, both parties talk about the need to reform the state's property tax system, but even with Democrats in control of both chambers and the governor's chair, nothing has happened on that.
Well, it's one of those subjects that it's very difficult. Every time you reduce somebody's taxes someplace, if you don't find a corresponding savings in government, you have to take it from someone else. We've worked on trying to uncouple with agriculture and the commercial property tax rates and try to work through those issues. And I've submitted bills to do just that, and it never really got anywhere. Really, property taxes are something that our local governments need to really work hard on. And earlier on, we had briefly discussed about the cost of government. On the state level, we're pretty much in the middle of the pack on when you look at the cost of state government. But local governments, they're out of control. We have too many individual governments and cities doing multiple services where we need to combine, and I think we're moving towards that. So we are improving. I know that the professor talked about long-term goals, and I kind of disagree with some of his statements that we don't have a long-term strategy, because a lot of these tax credits are long-term, and they do help stimulate our economy and create jobs. For example, the historic tax credit program, we just took the $50 million last year. That meant that over $120 million worth of tax credits were allocated for construction projects that are good-paying jobs, contractors, electricians, carpenters, etc., across the state of Iowa, to stimulate over $400 million worth of work. And that's happening this summer and the next couple summers. We've done stuff to help the wind energy industry. We've worked with alternative fuels in Iowa. We put incentives in there for data centers and brought Microsoft and Google to Iowa. Those are long-term strategies, not just short-term thinking. So I think there's plenty out there. And just briefly on iJobs, my community was flooded. And a lot of that money helped with repairs of things that needed to get done to help mitigate future floods. And when you buy a pump for a community that has to lift water that was going feeding into a creek over the dam, over the dike, so to speak, that didn't create a lot of iJobs out there, not a lot of jobs, but it did protect the people in those communities I represent. So there was a lot of spending within the quote iJobs program that really went to infrastructure things that jobs wouldn't be created, but Iowans benefited from it.
Well, and that might be a difficulty with the name and the vernacular of iJobs. I mean, the governor billed that as a job creation program, not as just a recovery program. Maybe people would have been more accepting of borrowing money for recovery, disaster recovery, versus what they don't see as creating jobs. Let me ask you, Professor Erasm, the senator just mentioned the tax credits, and Iowa does have more than $500 million in tax credits annually. Is that working? Is that a beneficial way to spur economic development?
Well, I think there's a trade-off, and I do appreciate the fact that if the purpose of iJobs was for flood recovery, I think that's a more legitimate reason for borrowing against the future than for short-term job creation. So I believe that Senator Dotzler is exactly correct. On the tax credits, what we're doing is we spend a lot of time trying to pick winners. So we say, okay, we're going to target tax credits into this sector. But what we forget is that the people who aren't getting those credits are the ones who are going to be paying for that. So the more you limit the overall tax base, the more you drive up the marginal tax rates on everyone else who isn't being treated exceptionally well. And it's those high marginal tax rates that drive out capital investment. And a recent paper that we just worked on showed that Iowa's tax structure is atypically poor for labor productivity growth because it tends to drive out capital toward other states that have lower marginal rates. So the more that we use tax credits as opposed to across-the-board tax treatment, the more we're actually lowering the overall economic health of the state, even as we perhaps favor expansion in some sectors such as wind energy.
Okay, so I'm going to try to just take a hold of that and understand it. You're saying because the state is handing out tax credits to a few winners that they think deserve it, it might be better off keeping that money and lowering the overall tax rate that would benefit everyone more evenly.
Right. We sort of say that you can't hold a ribbon-cutting ceremony in front of an across-the-board tax cut, but the overall effect on the economy may be much larger than targeting a specific sector of the economy or even a specific firm for particular tax credits.
Senator McKinley, let me ask you about tax credits, because it seems to me that that Republicans are fond of saying the state doesn't do a good job of picking winners and losers when it comes to programs like iJobs, when it comes to the Power Fund, when it comes to the Iowa Values Fund, where you hand out business grants and developments. You kind of prefer the state stay out of that. On the other hand, when Democrats talk about reducing some of these tax credits or curbing them, capping them, whatever it would be, Republicans tend to be critical of that. Is that an argument that cuts both ways?
Well, first of all, I don't accept your assumption. I have said that we should look at each and every tax credit, and I agree totally with the professor. Government is not very good at picking winners and losers, or some folks would like to say they've been better betting on losers. What we see is when government puts a lot of money to create jobs, it's not jobs they're creating, it's creating work. It's easy to hire someone to dig a ditch and then hire someone to come back and fill that ditch up. But what we need are sustainable long-term jobs that create wealth for Iowans. And those are generally manufacturing jobs. And in order to attract those jobs, we need a tax structure that is fair and competitive. And we need a regulatory regime that is not too burdensome. Presently, we have neither of those, and we have been talking about that in the Senate caucus I've been talking about it for years. We have we've really created a lot of barriers, and we better start lowering some of those.
All right, let's throw that phone number out one more time, 1-866-780-9100. We're running out of time, but if you want to join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. I'm speaking with Democratic Senator Bill Dotzler of Waterloo, Senate Minority Leader Paul McKinley, a Republican from Sheridan, and Iowa State University Economics Professor Peter Arazem. Senator Dotzler,
I'd just like to respond to what Senator McKinley said. You know, we've been dealing with the research activity tax credit in the state of Iowa, and we're finding that major corporations in Iowa almost pay zero mm-hmm. income tax.
Because of that tax credit.
Because of the way our tax structure is set up. They pay property taxes, but income taxes, I pay income tax and property tax. And we know this because with the research activity credit, if you don't have any state tax liability, we take out of the general fund your tax money, mine and Senator McKinley's and the rest of the listeners, and write a check and send it to corporations who make millions and hundreds of millions of dollars a quarter. So when we say that we don't have a fair tax structure, I submit it might not be fair to the average people in the state of Iowa. And I think that we need to look at all of it. Yes, we do.
Are you going to end that practice, the refundability of that tax
credit this year? Well, these businesses came screaming to the Capitol, and we think that there is some advantage to keep us as we have the most lucrative research activity credit in the nation. That ought to stimulate research and activity and development, and we're going to keep that. We're just scaling down a little bit on the large corporations. In fact, the small companies, we're going to increase what they get to from 6% 6.5% to 10% on a return to try to stimulate those small businesses that we do agree on that need to be stimulated and help support in the state of Iowa.
What do you think about that, Senator McKinley? Is this a reasonable redistribution of that money?
I think that, number one, if we had the perfect world to create jobs, we would stop the runaway spending that we have, so we have reasonable amount of spending. We are spending so much money, why it's hard to talk about reducing revenue to let people keep more of their own money. Most small businesses are organized as a Chapter S, meaning that the individual that works there pays on his own return what the tax is. Our income tax has one of the highest marginal tax rates, so they pay high income tax and they pay a high property tax. That's who we need to be looking at dealing with tax policy on, is how are we going to stimulate job growth, which is the small business person.
So, and we're not. We tried to reduce that high income rate with the federal deductibility and getting rid of that and lowering everybody's rates.
The plan,
and you didn't want to do it.
The plan that the Democrats had would actually have increased the amount of tax that was collected. It was merely an atmospheric
visual.
That's not
correct, Senator. You're loose with your facts.
But let me ask you, Senator McKinley, what they're proposing to do on tax credits this session, to scale them back somewhat, to redirect them to small businesses. You've said you want to take a look at every tax credit to see if they're giving us the most bang for their buck. Will you support Democrats' plans?
Well, first of all, I think that we need to look at each and every tax cut. The senator made a good case that these R&D tax credits, or said they aren't meeting their purpose. Why do we have them if they're not meeting their purpose? I don't know that they are not. We should look at it. But we need to look at each and every tax credit. We need to look at what the proposal is. And if it's a good proposal, of course we'll support it.
All right. Let's talk to Brad in Sac City. Brad, thanks so much for calling the exchange.
Hi. Wondering, I heard some conversation here about how we need to draw in a long-term manufacturing job, but at the same time, we want to increase the taxes on these companies that are based in Iowa. It just seems kind of like counterintuitive, you know, to say, hey, we want to draw companies in, but we also want to tax them. How are we going to be competitive on that level? And I'll take my answer offline.
I never said I wanted to increase them. I was just pointing out that the fairness in the tax code, as an individual, I'm paying income tax, but a lot of corporations aren't. And I don't have a problem with that. I work for a company that created a lot of jobs and provided good jobs. I think we got off track on the point, but the point being is that we do need to make sure that our major corporations in Iowa are competitive and are competitive with other states, and I want to be there. I just don't want it to be way over the top.
All right, let's squeeze in one last call. Dave, we just have a few seconds left. Dave's calling from Garner. Thanks for speaking with us today.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm just curious how the 4% job growth compares to the state's population growth.
Well, Ann's not with us anymore. Senator McKinley, do you have any of those numbers?
The numbers I know are that during the 20th century, from 1900 to 2000, we had the lowest job population growth of any state in the union. I think it is still below the national average, though it is growing somewhat.
I should ask Professor Arazem, is that numbers that you track?
Yes, and in fact, the two go pretty much together. You do have states like Florida that have been able to increase their population in part because they typically attract people to retire from other places. Iowa tends to send people to Florida. So to get people to move to Iowa, we have to have jobs for them. Otherwise, they move elsewhere.
Yeah, well, it's not a warm climate here, so they're moving. But you have mentioned in some of your writings that other states that are similar to us in the sense of not climate friendly, but South Dakota, have done well in creating jobs while Iowa has faltered.
They've done better, and in fact, most of the Midwestern states have done better than ours. And I do think that the trade-offs have to be trying to broaden the tax base in order to lower the marginal rates on property taxes or income taxes or corporate taxes by basically cutting back on how many of these special deals that can be cut for individual sectors. And I think that's extremely difficult because every time you get a special tax break, you're going to fight real hard to keep it in place. So it does put the state legislature in a very difficult position.
Becomes very political.
Yes.
All right. All right. Thank you, Professor. Thank you, Senator Dotzler, Senator McKinley. I appreciate all of my guests being with us this afternoon. You're listening to The Exchange, produced by Catherine Perkins and Jeff Schmidt. Production assistance today by Ben Kiefer and Rosalind Sixby. Technical support from Dennis Reese and John Pemble. Podcasting and on-demand audio available at The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. I'm Janine Beck. Thank you for joining us.